Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the reuniting voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Reuniting indeed. Let's touch on that shortly. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, this is going to be a big episode.
Staggering.
Unbelievable weekend of action.
Just incredible.
Golly.
Golly gosh.
My word. And I text you, I think it was Saturday morning, saying there's probably not going to be a great deal. So it'll be a short, sharp one on Monday. Don't think it's going to be a short, sharp one.
No.
But I am reuniting. Should we talk about that?
Okay, let's do that quickly.
Quickly.
Shall we?
Yes. And then we'll get on with the show. Yes, hopefully, all being well, I'll be seeing Mr. Alec Chamberlain on Wednesday. Going to play a bit of golf with Alec. Haven't seen him for a little while. And hopefully Ben Foster as well. So it'll be a little bit of a reunion from the 2006-2007 season, I believe it was, where it was Ben, myself and Alec, the three goalkeepers back in the day.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to it.
You're golfing a lot at the moment, aren't you?
Perfect for networking. Perfect. So my thinking is rather than meeting for a coffee, which is fine, and from time to time that is what I'll do, to go and play a game of golf with some of the lads that are still involved in the football world is quite a nice way to go about it.
And your star turn on the Cycling GK, I did see it. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Good swing.
It was lucky, really, because it was probably the only good one I had that day. But yeah, playing lots of golf. I'm going to be careful not to talk too much about golf, because I'm very wary that if you're not a golfer, even if you are a golfer, golfers can tend to be a little bit boring. Like, I could talk to you about my round, what I did on the 16th, how I got up and down and this, that. But if you're not a golfer, it just doesn't really interest you. So I'm going to be very careful not to give too many details, other than I was pretty bad that day, but I was quite good the next day. And I feel like I'm starting to come into some form for the summer.
Good. Okay, it's important you get those shots up, over and down, isn't it?
It is.
Very indeed. Important. And let's drop some names. Why not, while we're here? Who have you been out and about with golfing?
It's been really good, actually, last couple of weeks. So, very randomly, Neil Harris. That was with a colleague of mine, and Alfie Doughty. Of course, young winger at Stoke, who big season coming up for him. And it was, good to spend a bit of time with Neil Harris. Be interesting to see where he lands up next. I'm sure we'll see him in the Championship soon. Mentioned...
Funny dynamic, that, I think.
What's that?
You and Neil Harris.
Why?
Don't know. It doesn't strike me as a natural friendship.
Really?
Yeah. Has it become one?
I mean, I got on very well with him on the day. It's more my colleague is very close with him. So there is a friendship there already. They played together at Millwall. But no, I got on very well with him. I don't know what you mean by that. I'm a little bit confused. Do you not think I'm very likable, Matthew?
No, of course you are. Okay. I don't know. It's just something that strikes me. Anyone else that you've been
playing
with?
Who else have I played? You put me on the spot now. So I've got games lined up with Joe Lumley. I have played recently with Dylan Phillips, which was good fun as well. Harry Burgoyne, of course, of Shrewsbury. Got a game with him at some point later on this week. Also, Scott Shearer. Do you remember Scott Shearer?
I do, yes, yeah. Of course.
Played a good game with Scott Shearer not so long ago. So yeah, lots of goalkeepers. Actually, I'm getting through the goalkeeping world on a golf course.
How did the one with Shears go? Was that just golf or did something crazy happen in the middle of the game?
Normally does with Scott Shearer, yes. For anyone that knows him, that tends to happen. But no, it was very subdued. He's a very different character now that he's retired from football. He's now a financial advisor, believe it or not.
Get out, is it?
He's a financial advisor, a very good one as well.
Okay, and to finish on this, you, as I've experienced, do not like to lose. So how does this go when you play golf, especially when you're playing with goalkeepers that you work with?
Yep.
How does that go?
I haven't lost yet.
Right, okay.
That's the thing. But no, if that were to happen, of course, you mentioned there are certain lads that are clients, and of course, I would make sure that I kept my dignity. There might be a club or two thrown, but that would be the absolute limit.
Okay, fine. We've got plenty coming up, haven't we, over the course of the next 45 minutes or so, maybe less. Who knows? Like you said, plenty going on in the world of goalkeeping. If you'd like to get in touch with us, very easy to do so on Twitter at GK Union. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net. Our phone number 07503673020. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Where are you going to start?
We're going to start with two tweets that we've got. And then you can guess, Richard, what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Okay. So one was from Succulent Chinese Meal at BatmanDan_. That's one for the GK Union today. Great header. And then Chip Goins says, goalkeeper dreams, CC at GK Union. What do you think they're talking about?
Yes, indeed. I've been looking forward to this since yesterday. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but as soon as that happened, I was actually quite excited for once to have this conversation with you, Matt.
Absolutely. Alisson leaping like a salmon to win a game for Liverpool in the 95th minute against West Bromwich Albion, keeping Liverpool's Champions League hopes alive. They are very close to that top four, and Chelsea and Leicester playing each other this week, aren't they? Tomorrow, I think. So they now have a very good chance thanks to their Brazilian goalkeeper. Just take it away. What a moment.
So what do I have to say about it? Well, not a lot because it's not goalkeeping, so we can move on. No, I'm torn, actually. I am a little bit torn because, of course, we comment on goalkeeping, not necessarily goalkeepers doing what attackers are supposed to do. But no, I'm just delighted for him. I think, as everyone's already said, probably repeating a lot of what has already been said, but given the year that he's had, I think on the field, off the field, so many ups and downs. And I just think that it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I loved his interview afterwards. Even when you just look at him and you kind of build an idea as to who he is. And of course, it helps that you see his social media and you get a real kind of feeling for who he is as a character. He just seems like such a good person as well. So it happened to him, and it was a brilliant header. The way in which he's got himself into the box, no one's marked him again, which is mental, but it so often happens now when a goalkeeper comes up. Of course, when you've got teams that defend in a certain way, it's just something that they can't necessarily adapt to at the last minute. And he's gone up there, no one's followed him, no one's marked him, got himself into a really good position, and it is an excellent technique. The way in which he's jumped, connected with the ball, and the technique that he's used in order to glance the header, it's perfect.
This season has really made a mockery, hasn't it, of the argument that goalkeepers just make things worse by coming up. And we've heard it from certain pundits throughout the season. Oh, why do these goalkeepers come up? There's no point. They're not going to get the header. They just make it worse for the attackers. It never really works out. And we've seen this season, it seems like more than ever, just straight off the top of my head, Bono scoring that last minute winner for Sevilla in La Liga. We saw Xander Clark, didn't we, for St. Johnstone scoring, no one marking him. We've now seen this from Alisson. We spoke about Mark Travers a couple of weeks ago, granted the Hampshire Senior Cup, but still a goalkeeper scoring a header. We seem to have seen more of it this season.
Well, I'd love to see the percentage of goals scored when keepers do come up and whether it is higher or lower than when they don't come up. And of course, logic would tell you that it's going to be higher. Having an extra man in the box trying to win that header. And of course, you might concede more and you probably do concede more, but it's irrelevant. If Liverpool lose that game yesterday or draw that game, neither is any good to them anyway. So why not throw him up there exactly as they did and actually cause the confusion? And no, for me, I mean, look, we can go all the way back to when Schmeichel glanced that header on and of course, United won the European Cup all that time ago, you know, and maybe from then. And I think, you know, since then, the amount of examples we've seen.
Had to get it in, didn't you?
It was an opportunity.
A quick bit of trivia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Quick quiz, actually.
Oh, do enjoy a quiz.
So he's the first Liverpool goalkeeper to score a goal since.
Ooh, let me think. Who would it be? Or David James?
Nope.
Go on.
No one. He's the first Liverpool goalkeeper to score a repetitive goal. First time in their entire history. 1892, the club were formed.
There you go.
Incredible, isn't it?
There you go.
It is the first headed goal by a goalkeeper in the Premier League since?
No one.
Correct, yes. Richard. Very
You're
good.
Not gonna get me twice. Fool me once.
And it is the first winning goal scored by a goalkeeper in the Premier League since?
No one.
No one, really? Richard. There
of course,
we go.
Because this is the other thing. Ordinarily, goalkeepers come up when you're losing. It's very rare. And this was quite a unique situation in that a draw just simply wasn't good enough.
So five other goalkeepers have scored in the Premier League. I'm guessing you'll know the answers to this. But hey, let's do a quiz nonetheless.
Anyway. Let's do it anyway. So I'm going to go with Peter Schmeichel, Brad Friedel. Then the others would be Paul Robinson. So there's two more.
There are.
Two more.
One of which we've had and spoken about on the podcast.
Have we? This podcast?
This podcast, yes. Not another podcast. No.
Well, no.
We've spoken about him on a different podcast.
Today's podcast.
No, he's been a feature interview on the podcast.
Has he really?
Friend of the podcast.
In that case, it's going to be not Casper, Tom Heaton, Nick Pope. No, I'm just going to run through all the ones we've done. Asmin Begovic.
Correct.
Yes, so there's one more. Of course, Asmin Begovic. Yeah, I remember that one. Okay, so the one more. I've said David James, but...
Didn't score, no.
No.
Went up front, but didn't score.
And I know who this other one is. Go on.
You should do.
I really should.
So you had Paul Robinson, you had Asmir Begovic, you've had Peter Schmeichel, you've had Brad Friedel.
Oh, there's something in the way in which you said there Brad Friedel, which makes me think... No, go on.
No?
It's a Another American, Tim Howard.
There yes, we go.
That's what it was. That's what it was. I got there in the end.
Well, I could see the cogs turning.
Do you know what? And I know, obviously, a lot of you guys listening in, I know there's several listeners that will be shouting right now. Probably Adam Sells being one of them. He will be shouting at the radio.
I'm sure Asmir was as well, to be fair.
Is that a radio? Is that a radio that people listen to this
You
on?
Can do. Yeah, you okay, can plug true. It in, can't you?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Asmir will be as well, yeah.
Yeah, probably quite disappointed. Shouting, remember my name.
He might actually cancel his subscription now on the back of that. I do apologise.
But wonderful scenes for Alisson. And just when you consider the season he's had as well, he had his troubles in that game specifically against Manchester City. Even watching him last week against Manchester United, to be fair, there were just times when I thought he still doesn't look quite right, especially his distribution, his shorter distribution. But a wonderful moment for him looking up into the sky, calling out to his dad who passed away recently. Just a fantastic moment for him.
Yeah, it really, really was. And as you say, it certainly set things up for a very interesting end to the season in regards to Champions League spots.
Yes, Champions League spots indeed. The title, of course, has already been won by Manchester City. They went to Newcastle on Friday night, which gave Pep Guardiola an opportunity to play Scott Carson.
It did indeed. Are we not going to talk about Kasper Schmeichel next? Surely that has to be next in the running order. And don't get me wrong, and I know Scott Carson does listen from time to time, so apologies, Scott. But surely, or do we do Scott Carson next? What's the bigger story?
It's up to you. We can do Kasper if you want. No, I thought we'd do Premier League and then
I'll tell you what we'll do. No, because my worry is if we do Kasper Schmeichel, then Scott Carson, a lot of people will tune out after that point because those are the two other big stories from this week. So let's do Scott Carson. Maybe then we'll do all the other stuff and then we can finish with Kasper.
Well, maybe that was what the plan was.
Ah, okay. See? All right. Okay. Credit to you. Credit where it's due. Okay, Scott Carson looked great. Absolutely buzzing for him. Do you know what? I love the fact that there's so much love given to him for those that follow him or anybody that follows others in the Man City squad. The amount that have been messaging him, messaging about him. I know there is a bit of a thing that Scott Carson's only recently gone onto Instagram, I think. So I did see a lot of people trying to really drum up interest in his Instagram account, which was quite funny. But the fact that he's now done this, you can just sense he's a really, really popular figure amongst the Manchester City squad. And he did great. I mean, look, didn't have loads and loads to do in terms of saves, but I thought he looked very accomplished in everything he did. He's exactly what you would want for somebody in that role. You know, you talk about this number three role, which is so, so important in the Premier League now. We touched on this last week, given the rules as they are, you can't do emergency loans, or even if you could, who in the Premier League is going to loan to you knowing that it's going to strengthen you? So to have that number three, someone of Scott Carson's ilk, he will now become that guy. When people talk about the number three and who a team is looking for as a number three, they will refer to a Scott Carson because he has now become that person. You know, so, so reliable, more than good enough to step into the Premier League when needed, and just an excellent person to play that role. And I thought it was great that they gave him this game. Quite funny, and I have seen a few tweets in regards to this and a few Instagram mentions in regards to this, that his first appearance for Man City and they gave him a guard of honour. I thought that was quite amusing that brilliant. He just so happened to step into that one. But look, no chance on the goals. I mean, brilliant penalty save, has to be said. I felt sorry for him. It was the fact the penalty was ever so slightly too central that he wasn't able to quite get the angle on the save to get it out of danger, and it almost went back on him. And of course, they got the follow-up. But I thought it was an excellent save nonetheless. You know, had that have stayed out, then we'd have been going into real detail on that save, because I thought it was very, very good. But look, still looks very, very sharp, and I think he'll do that particular job for City for the next 2 or 3 years.
Do you think so?
I think he will. I mean, he's only 35. Yeah, we touched on this, and that he does look a little bit older than 35. I think that's fair to say. And Scotty, if you're listening in, apologies. That's just my opinion, and you might disagree. But I think when I first looked, I thought he looked 37, 38. But he is, he's just 35, and he is still so, so sharp, looks in such good shape. I think he can do this. As long as he's happy doing this role, I think he can do it for a few more years.
Yeah, it was really good, wasn't it, chatting to him a few weeks ago on his role at Manchester City. And like you say, 35 years old, Pep Guardiola spoke after the game and said, a lot of you might not realise, but he's so important to what we do. And we've spoken extensively about that number three role. We've spoken to Rob Green about it. We've spoken to Tony Cage about it in the past when he was essentially one of the first at Newcastle United. But what a role it is. If you are of that mindset and you're happy to play that role, and it's not easy either, is it? I think maybe there are some goalkeepers out there who think, well, I could be a number three. Not a problem. But you've got to be a certain type of character too, haven't you? And it seems like Scott Carson,
the key characteristics are that firstly, you need to have had the experience. I think this is where it's always a risk having a number three as a young lad. Now, the chances of a number three being needed for a game are quite small, but look at Stoke City this season in the Championship. They had to call back Joe Bursic, and of course, he's got 15 games or so. So it can happen. And if you're one or two go down in the Premier League and you've got a young lad as a number three, now look, they might step in and be phenomenal. That might happen. But you don't know. If they haven't got that experience, you just don't know. And of course, the Premier League being what it is and being as lucrative as it is, the chance of putting somebody in who's not ready and it costs you three or four games, certainly for the teams that are a bit smaller, a bit lower down the table, that might mean relegation, which might mean, what, 100 million or whatever it is now for being in the Premier League. So it really is crucial that you have somebody that can do that, because if they do have to step in for four or five games, you would feel that Scott Carson could do that and there wouldn't be too much disruption. But similarly, if you are a number three, another key part to playing that role is that you don't essentially put too much pressure on the one and two, which sounds ridiculous, but that's what it needs to be. Yeah, you put pressure on in terms of you're a good trainer, and if they slack at all, then maybe you'll fill in that position of being a number two. But more often than not, your number one and two, you're very set with, and they're your two playing goalkeepers. The number three is just there to be a great lad around the training ground, called upon if needed, you're ready, and also at times be a bit of a bridge between the staff and players. And you just look at Scott Carson, what I could see happening is him doing that at City for a few more years and then potentially moving down the Premier League. Wouldn't surprise me at the age of 38, 39 if we see him at a mid-table Premier League team still performing that same role.
10 years after his last Premier League game as well. You spoke about the Guard of Honour. It's worth noting, he was the only Champions League winner on the pitch, of course.
Of course.
Took the medal, didn't he, in 2005?
He did indeed.
And
you do love a stat today, by the way.
I do love a stat. I've got one more quiz for you as well.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, I read this. I haven't had enough time to substantiate it, but he is apparently the only goalkeeper to play for six Premier League clubs now.
Ah, okay. That's an interesting one as well.
Name them.
Okay, well, Liverpool, Leeds, West Brom.
Correct.
Man City.
Correct.
So there's two more.
Two loan spells he had.
Oh, okay. You see, I've got the four key ones. Let's just say that. Go on.
Charlton Athletic.
Of course.
For one season.
I played against him. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, there you go.
And Aston Villa.
Ah, yes. One season. Of course you did. Yep, I remember well.
Yep. After the game.
Yep.
He was interviewed. He did say, I was a little bit nervous. I'd forgotten what it was like to actually play football, I think. But do you know the big sentence that he made? Having not played in the Premier League for 10 years, having not played football really for the best part of, what, 2 years, two to 3 years, do you know what he said?
Go on.
The most important thing at the end of the day was the 3 points.
There you go. There you go.
I could not believe it.
There you go. Doesn't matter how long you haven't played for, those standard football phrases just come straight back in.
Just ingrained in a footballer's psyche.
Boys done good at the end of the day. Game of two halves.
Just unbelievable. But from one goalkeeper who hadn't played for the club that he was currently at to another, Jack Butland, making his first Premier League appearance, has played in the FA Cup earlier on this season for Crystal Palace, but his first Premier League start since the 2017-18 season.
Yeah, it was, and really pleased for him. I thought that never easy stepping in when you haven't played for a period of time, and of course he's had to wait for his debut, but I thought he looked very, very accomplished. And look, we've mentioned this a few times now that we are at the back end of the season, and we are kind of in that unusual position that with three or four games to go, relegation is sorted, the champions are sorted as well. So you've got a lot of teams that can use this opportunity to see what a lot of the fringe players are like. And for Jack Butland, again, he's played so many games at Premier League level, but to be able to step back in and in a victory as well, a big victory, good victory, I'm sure he'll be very pleased. No chance on the goals conceded. Did make a good save, an awkward save that he had from a free kick in particular that I thought he dealt with very well. And on the whole, I thought he looked really accomplished. So no, pleased for him. He obviously had a tough couple of seasons at Stoke, last couple of seasons there. But now to be back in amongst it, things can change very, very quickly for a goalkeeper, good and bad. But given how, I think he'll be the first to admit, he did have a tough year or two at Stoke, to now be back in amongst it. And again, going into next season, you never know. You get that chance, you're suddenly a number one again. Wouldn't surprise me if we see the likes of a Jack Butland knocking on the England door again.
Wow. Okay, really? That
Well, I think the fact that he was around it for so long, and you know, you can look at the season that he had with Stoke, but I think it wasn't just him. You know, things weren't quite right at the club, and it has been tough since they got relegated. But you look at a lot of the attributes that he's got. You know, he was always the bright spark coming through for so long. It was almost written that it was going to be Jack Butland, England goalie for 10 years. And look, he had a setback, a major setback in terms of his personal form. And maybe, you know, the fact that he wasn't able to stay in the Premier League when Stoke went down, how that maybe affected him psychologically and whatever else. But you still look at him and you think there is a fantastic goalkeeper in there. And he certainly shows that from time to time when he plays, and watching him again at the weekend, you can see so much in him that there is to like. And you do just wonder that if he were to get a run in the team, it'll take a bit of time to rebuild his reputation. I think it's fair to say that glowing reputation he had when he was younger that maybe has been tarnished slightly. But again, we've seen it. Suddenly you have a good season in the Premier League. He's still not that old in goalkeeping terms. And he has a game that I'm sure Gareth Southgate would enjoy.
Okay, just wrapping up the rest in the Premier League. Not too much to talk about, but firstly, a save from Rui Patricio. They lost Wolves at Spurs, but thought this was worth flagging because not often do you see Harry Kane clean through, striking as he strikes the ball, normally ending up in the bottom corner, but a really good save from Patricio.
Yeah, brilliant. He's had to go ever so slightly early on this one, but I think that would always be the case with a Harry Kane one-on-one. I think realistically, you're going to have to guess a little bit. That's purely my opinion. People would disagree with me on that, but I think given how accurate he ordinarily is, and you kind of know a lot of the time what he's going to do, so I think Patricio here has gone with percentages, gone with probability that Harry Kane's going to try and whip it across back into that bottom corner, as we've seen him do countless times, and he's so sharp in getting down and to get fingertips to it. I mean, it was an incredible passage of play, really, to then hit the post, come back out, the follow-up, hit the post again. But yeah, it's a super save.
And a first Premier League clean sheet away from home in 29 games for Aaron Ramsdale, continuing his decent run of form at the end of the season.
Yeah, we're seeing the Ramsdale smile. I think that might become a thing. But no, very good again. I mean, the double save in particular, very sharp down to his right. Good footwork to get himself into the position he needed to be. Really sharp down to his right. And quite clever in how he got himself up, because to make that second save, effectively all he's done is stand up. But by doing so, he's made himself very big in the goal. And as it turns out, that's exactly where the player was looking to finish, was up high into the roof of the net. And the fact that Ramsdale got up as quick as he did, it's hit him in the chest and gone over the bar. So credit to him. I think that he's read the situation very well, got himself up very quickly. It's that one that you goalkeepers, you'll work for over and over and over again. Make the save low, get up quick. Make the save low, get up quick. And in that moment, it's paid dividends.
Finishing off, Richard, with what you wanted to talk about right from the off.
Yeah, you made me wait.
Kasper Schmeichel, the FA Cup going to Leicester City. Just what a goalkeeper this man is. There's not many more superlatives we can offer to describe him. Two fantastic saves, one from the Ben Chilwell header and the other one from the Mason Mount half volley. I mean, where do you start with this?
Yeah, phenomenal. I mean, the save from the header was excellent. You know, I think had the game have finished 1-0, we would have been talking about that save. And we are going to touch on that save, of course. But the next save, and I know a couple of people have suggested the first one was better. For me, no, the second one, I just think that there's so much about this save that I want to talk about. In particular, the timing of the set. You know, I think it's so crucial when the ball lands, and if you watch it in super slow motion, the timing of the set is absolutely perfect. The power he gets from his right leg to transfer to the left leg to then explode and get the distance he does from such short range. You know, it's only, what, 8-10 yards that Mason Mount striking this ball. To get that distance, it is just phenomenal. A split second more on the set and he doesn't make the save. It's, you know, it's as minuscule as that. And, you know, in the end with that and obviously the offside decision as well, it was such fine margins that this game was decided. But that's where you talk about big saves, and obviously it's a bit of a comment that maybe gets overused now, but goalkeepers that have the ability to make big saves, which for me is the ability to be in the moment, to be in flow, in the zone, in that particular moment, which he was, absolutely was. Of course, we had him on the podcast. And I mean, if you haven't listened to that, you absolutely need to listen to that podcast, because I think much of what he says in that came together in this particular moment, to be so tuned in, to get everything absolutely spot on. And then it's all those years of plyometric training, power training, in order to explode to his left. And even when he gets there, it's fingers that he gets. It's not your full palm. To then have the strength in the fingers and the timing in order to deflect it away it almost doesn't make sense physically. You know, you look at it over and over again and you try and figure out how he's managed to get the angle on the save that he has. I, for the life of me, just cannot understand it. And I'll be honest, I actually had to pop out of the room when the game was going on, and I've suddenly seen my phone light up, and I must have had half a dozen people within seconds like messaging me about that save. So I quickly got back, rewound it. Wow, I wasn't disappointed.
It might sound dramatic, and sometimes I think when you talk like this, people go, oh, crikey, don't get carried away. But that's what it's all for, right? That's the hours of the psychology. It's the sitting on his sofa, like he said, with a tennis ball. It's his board of directors that he's speaking to. It's everything that he's worked towards for moments like that that you make.
It's exactly that, you know, and I think that you could talk about great saves that you make in training, and there will be times where you make the phenomenal saves in training, but to actually produce it in a moment such as that, FA Cup final, the game's coming towards a close, you're 1-0 up, like the importance of the moment and everything. Now, that's where there's a load of cliches that you could produce. Was it the harder you work, the luckier you get, et cetera, et cetera. There's all these sayings that are out there, but I just think this is where you have to have belief that if you do keep doing the right things, you do keep working as hard as you possibly can, and certainly from what I know about him and what we can see, he is that character. He's not leaving anything to chance. And that's the saying that I'd probably then come back to, which is that the harder you work, the luckier you get. You know, in those big moments, that day in the gym that you've probably forgotten about 5 years ago that no one cares about, that comes out. Here's another one for you. What is it? What you do in the dark comes out in the light. And it is that. I'm going to just keep coming out with
that one.
No, but I just think it is that. It's those, and you goalkeepers listening in will probably know this. It's kind of those moments you have away from the training ground that nobody will know about, where you may be doing a boxing session or you're doing some extra gym work or some extra plyometric work or sprint sessions or whatever it is that you're doing, which again, at the time you think, is this actually going to be worth anything? Why am I actually doing this? But then it's when you pull off a save like that in the closing moments of a game, suddenly it's those thousands and thousands of hours worth of work that you've done, which a lot of the time you might have even questioned yourself, but you make a save like that, or even us seeing a save like that, and it just confirms that confidence that actually, if you do put in the hours, those magical moments are out there.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And great again to see the celebrations in that one. Very much the ringleader at Leicester, isn't he? The captain and the ringleader, getting everybody involved in those celebrations. He's also the first goalkeeper captain to lift the FA Cup since...
Oh, you're testing me again. Is this one I should get?
Yeah.
Peter Schmeichel?
No, the other one.
Van der Sar?
No.
The other one? Okay, let's go on.
You always name two goalkeepers every time, don't you?
I do, which would be...
From your era, our era.
David Seaman?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. 2003, Arsenal, yeah.
There you go.
At the opposite end, to finish, actually, we wanted to finish on a high, so let's try and make this some sort of high, if you can. Yeah. Kepa was chosen by Thomas Tuchel instead of Edouard Mondi. Now, this was... I've said Mondi, haven't I? Mendy. Close who knows? This was something that, of course, because they lost the game, was flagged by Chelsea fans afterwards, namely because of the fact that they thought... he could have maybe reached the strike from Yuri Tielemans. Take nothing away from the strike. Brilliant strike. Great goal. Worthy of winning any game, let alone the FA Cup final. But could Kepa have got there? Let's put this to bed. And should he have been in instead of Mendy?
Should? No, not really. I think we've had similar conversations about this previously where he's played every round and he's played very well, I think, recently. So in terms of the difference between him and Mendy... You know, I know that Mendy's got the nod at the moment, but I think that Kepa under Tuchel has done very, very well. And I think he did fine in this game. I think for the large part, he was very good. And even this, I mean, look, this isn't by no means a goalkeeping mistake. Like, I saw some of the comments, and it's a very easy thing to do, to be like, oh, Mendy would have saved that. We'll never know. You know, I've just talked about the Kasper Schmeichel save, the timing of the set, the power, the way in which you transfer your weight from right to left, etc. Now, look, when you watch this in super, super slow motion, the questions you ask are, okay, could he get a set in? Could he get a little bit more power from the dive? Could he do this? Look, it's a brilliant finish. It is a brilliant, brilliant finish that's arrowed right into the top corner from 25 yards, and it's struck incredibly well. I think that on any given day, this will beat any goalkeeper. Now, if this is saved, it will go down as one of the very, very best saves. And this would be up there with that Kasper Schmeichel save that we just spoke about. It would be in that sort of league. So, look, can it be saved? It's an impossible question. I have no problem with Kepa playing, as I say. I think the fact that he's done as well as he has under Tuchel, I think that we're starting to see the best of Kepa gradually with each game that he's playing, more and more confidence. I think that he really suits this manager. I think it's a very easy cop-out. Ultimately, they haven't scored. You know, they haven't scored in an FA Cup final against Leicester. And that, for me, was the reason they were defeated, not a rocket from 25 yards that's gone in the top corner.
It's the reach, isn't it? That's the argument that people are putting forward. So maybe let's put this to bed. And do you know what? With Mendy, it is something that you spoke about in a Champions League game. I think you referenced his height and said this is where, if you do have that height, you can make that save.
But that's true. But it is the impossible question, because then similarly, I use another example, and I mean this with the greatest respect, but someone like Pantilimon, who of course did it at a very, very high level, but there were at times a criticism that maybe he didn't move his feet quite quick enough or wasn't quite as explosive as maybe you'd have wanted. So then does Pantilimon save this? Well, maybe not. I mean, this is the bit as well. But then similarly, you might have a Fabian Barthez who is incredibly mobile, nimble, or a Lloris. Does Lloris save it? Possibly. Like, you just don't know. I just think that ultimately it's a shot from 25 yards that's arrowed in the top corner. I think it can beat every goalkeeper and ordinarily does beat every goalkeeper. Every now and then there might be that situation when they absolutely nail the set and get the explosion there and get fingertips to it, and it's one of those saves of the century. But I think the fact that we're even looking at this like we are, because there were some comments, I did see a lot of these comments, I think is ludicrous. You know, to focus on that, it's just such an easy thing to do. It's the whole Kepa bashing that we've seen so much of. I just think it's one where you've got to give credit to Tielemans, give credit to Schmeichel. It was Leicester's day.
Does have a case as well to argue that the ball shouldn't have even been with Tielemans. I mean, we could talk about VAR and the handball, but you can hear quite clearly when the ball comes over the top from the initial phase of play from Leicester that he shouts quite loudly, keepers, keepers. And Thiago Silva ignored him and decided to play out, gives it to Reece James, who gives the ball away and Leicester score. So that passage of play may not have even happened had Thiago Silva acknowledged his call.
Yeah, butterfly effect, Matthew. Now, in this way, it's an impossible question, because then similarly, when Mendy's made a few mistakes earlier in the season, you could say, oh, well, Kepa wouldn't have made that mistake. Like, it's just a nonsense. I just think if you look at everything in isolation, and I'll just keep repeating myself, but it is just a phenomenal strike. If Kepa saves it, and maybe Kepa does save it on another day, who knows? If he does, it would be in the same category as what Kasper Schmeichel did at the other end, which for me is just absolutely world class.
Okay, well, let's finish on a high, shall we? You've given me a few lines already. What was it? What You Do in the Dark Bears Fruit in the Light or something?
I mean, that sounds better than what I said, but it was along those lines, yeah.
Give me one more. What else have we got? A goalkeeping thought of the week.
Oh, so you see, put me on the spot now. What should we go for this week? Here you go. What about this one? A setback is a setup for a comeback.
Nice.
Yeah, which I think for a goalkeeper, let's be honest, if you are a goalkeeper out there, a young goalkeeper, there are the moments, the extraordinary moments, like we saw with Kasper Schmeichel. But more often than not, you'll have possibly more tough moments than those huge, huge highs. So to have that sort of mentality that with each setback, as long as you're learning, as long as you're moving forward, then there's always another opportunity.
I actually prefer setbacks pave the way for comebacks.
Okay.
Slightly better. Do you know who told me that?
Go on.
Audley Harrison.
There you go. There you go.
Didn't work out too well for him in the end, sadly. So maybe it doesn't always bear fruit. Who knows?
Well, there you go.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away.